Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
So the Bin Laden tape is out, and there he is, sitting around with the crew. And they're talking about hitting the building and how much gasoline it would take to melt the iron that kept the building up, and all of the floors of the building above the plane strike, how many of them would fall. And Osama's saying, gee, I was the most optimistic. I thought just the top of the building, but the whole building collapsed, and it was just great. And they're having themselves, they're patting each other on the back, kissing each other, hugging each other, having a little sex. There is some sexual contact on the tape, so for those of you who are watching it, Osama bin Laden does admit culpability in the attacks on September the 11th, but then he goes further. He has active sex with three of the men on the tape in full view of the camera. So that's a little shocking, and you may, if you're watching it at home, you may have the kids leave the room, all right? Because he says, yes, I was responsible, and then proceeds to give oral pleasure to three of the men in that room. So that's kind of weird. And then there's like a group thing that happens, and then like two boys come in, and then they switch off. Clothes are off for about an hour. Most of the tape is sexual. Very little of it contains any stuff about the 9/11 attack, but the stuff that it does contain, he absolutely admits to pulling the trigger on the thing. Now, the guy that called and said, hey, how about those Jews with their curly hair and their hats? And they're sitting in the rabbi's lap, and they're asking, what do they want for Christmas? And I said, look, if you don't like Jews, just come right out and say you don't like Jews. What do you got to be cutesy-poo about it, okay? Let me do the shtick. But some people think that they're going to get in on the show and kind of, throw a few zingers, and Phil's going to pat them on the head and maybe put their call on a website. Ain't going to happen. If you don't like Jews, just say you hate Jews, okay? Then the woman calls up and says, you must think we're pretty stupid. I said, what? Your comments about Jews. I said, what did I say? That you don't like them. I said, what am I living? Is this Alice in Wonderland here? What part of the looking glass have we just stepped through? I didn't say anything. That guy said it. But that's the way it goes here in the old world of talk radio. So if you want that very hot Osama bin Laden tape and the Ron Jeremy, you can call Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson or the Osama tape. Call the following number, 1-800-449-8686. That number again, 1-800-449-8686. The Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson, and a special classic bonus, Tanya Harding, thrown in along with... I just said the words Tanya Harding, and Craig is here like, oh, man, why did you have to do that? Why did you have to go there? I was having a pleasant evening. Nothing was wrong. The colon cancer is in remission, and then you had to bring that up. Let's go to Tracy on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi, Tracy.
Hey.
Hi.
My brother says you're funny.
He's right.
I'm hanging out eating dinner with him, and he said, you got to listen to this guy on the radio show.
Yeah, I am.
So listen how funny he is. I'm cleaning up dishes after dinner.
Right.
And I'm like, Scott, where does this go? And he goes, what do you mean, where does it go? It goes in the sink.
There you go, Tracy. Well, thanks a lot. Is your name Tracy or Gracie? You ought to be Gracie.
Do I have to talk about Osama?
Talk about anything that you know. Let's start with the dishes.
You need a mortgage?
Huh? I got a mortgage, honey. Now, look, at the last house that I moved in that one delivers was like probably 20 years ago.
Hey, listen, where are you broadcasting from?
If I tell you that, then you're liable to show up.
No, are you up north somewhere?
Because... Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Derek, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
And I was just wondering what you thought of the whole BCS thing that's going on in college football right now.
The what?
The whole BCS.
What's that?
It's the Bowl Championship Series. It's
I don't know. I got no opinion. No,
much?
Man. College football is a AAA sport. I mean, I watch pro ball and then college ball.
Well,
I know every Super Bowl winner that there's ever been, and I know which teams played in every Super Bowl, and I can tell you in order, but I can't even tell you who the defending national champion in college football is. I think that it would be a lot more interesting if they had a playoff structure, but even then I wouldn't really watch it. I think you know what the BCS did? It ruined a perfectly good game called the Rose Bowl. perfectly good football game. We had the Pac-10 and the Big 12 or the Big 10 or the Big this or the Big 6 or the Big 12-inch or whatever it was called. And they would come out. We had a great ball game. Now we're going to have to sit here on the 3rd of January and look at Miami and who is it? Nebraska?
Yeah.
You aren't going to get one swinging you-know-what from this area, Los Angeles, to go to that game. You better get a whole bunch of people in from Nebraska and Miami because there ain't going to be one Californian going to that game.
Yeah.
There won't be anybody turning it on TV. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I know. I think from being here from Oregon, we feel like we kind of got gypped out of the whole thing.
But. Yeah, Oregon had a good ball club. UCLA-Miami would have been fantastic. Oregon-Miami would have been fantastic. But Miami-Nebraska holds absolutely no interest whatsoever for me. And as far as the championship in college football says, we've been yearning for years to have a true champion. I thought the old system was perfectly fine. Have the sports writers vote on it. Have the coaches vote on it. You don't like it. It's college. Those guys are there to get an education, or so we're told. And they can go on and do their pro thing. They're amateurs. Nothing that they do should have any serious consequence. The things you do as a professional, my boy. Derek, are you listening to me?
Yeah.
You listening to me, my son?
I'm listening.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a sheet metal worker. And
you're a
sheep
herder? All right. That's a good thing. And the things you do as a professional, Derek, the things you do as a money-making professional, that's what matters in this world. Not when you're an amateur, not when you're still learning the trade, not when you're still getting your ears dried behind you, you know, whatever the hell. Where do you dry your ears? Behind the ears. Not when you're still learning the craft. And the college players, what they do is of no consequence. It is of next to no consequence. It is of little consequence. It is like a dust in the wind. It is, just stop me, will you please, if you've heard this before. It is of, college is college. That's where one learns one's trade. That's where one learns the ropes of life. There's no serious consequence to that other than what consequence it has to the individuals involved in the tuition thereof. It is only when one enters the professional ranks that your actions matter in the arena of life. Yes, of course, one can make a difference no matter where one is. But however, and another thing, give me another one of those Guinness. So I would say that the college players should be very happy to have the coaches poll and the sports writers poll. I say go back to that. It was never as controversial as it is now. The more you monkey with the system, the more you're going to have people bellyaching about it. And that's exactly what has happened with this BCS computer. Computers are not the end-all be-all. I hate to break the news. I hate to shatter your world. I hate to rock your world. Computers, you know, they got limits to their use, too. There's a very limited amount of things that a computer can do. Computer only knows what we tell it. This bullcrap about how someday we're going to have artificial intelligence. Why, it'll generate on its own. What a load. The only thing the thing knows is what we know. And what do we know? It ain't much. So the thing's doing the best it can with the bullcrap that we feed it, and then it spits out Nebraska, Miami, and you guys are all upset with it? You wanted it in the first place. You'd like the coaches voting on it. They don't want the sports writers. God, they're only people. What do they know? Let's give it to a computer. If we had people voting on this thing, you know it would be Miami and, well, on second thought, who would it be? Oklahoma? I don't know. Oregon? It would be anybody but Nebraska. Nebraska wouldn't be there. They got their asses handed to them by Colorado 62-45. Those guys wouldn't be playing in the Insurance Bowl, man. They wouldn't be in the Vegas Bowl. They wouldn't be in the Pool and Weed Eater Bowl, which is one of the all-time great. I look forward to it every year. So, you know, it's college. Learn your craft, my boy. Do what you got to do. Get your diploma. And then come on in. The water's fine. Come on in with where the big dogs eat. Come on into the world of the professional. This is where we get paid. This is where we feed our families. This is where we put our kids to school. This is where you get your throat cut for a nickel. And they'll leave you in the street bleeding. And they won't even think twice about it as they go home and have dinner with their families. Because that is life in the pro ranks. College, they're wiping your... You know, the thing with football players, and it's true because our guy was playing football this past year. It's 2 years in high school. And I've had dealings with professional as well as college football players. Some of them I've known. Some of them were my friends. You know what? You get your rear end wiped from the time you're about 12 or 13 years of age until the time you're 21 years of age. And if you get into the pro ranks, you're getting your rear end wiped for you and your nose blown until you retire. These are the most pampered athletes on earth. Football players. Baseball players, these guys are tough. They're riding buses. They're eating saran-wrapped sandwiches. They're eating crap out of machines. There is a cutthroat struggle going on in the ranks of professional minor leaguers just to get to the pro ranks that you don't even, that a football player, his stomach would turn at the thought of it. He wouldn't even know what to do. Just have your little college career. If you make it to the pro ranks, then we'll talk to you about what it means to be a champion. I'm Phil Hendry. Santa Claus to some of you. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. And the Canadian League, too. Let me just say something.
Show is back.
1-800-449-8686. Here's Osama bin Laden is almost so relaxed he's like he's stoned. I think he's smoking something that's so good, it's got to be from California. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. So the Osama bin Laden tape is out, available at your local Blockbuster. Hey, what is available at Blockbuster along those lines? I'm sure that there is... By God, yes, there is. Isn't the Chase tape available? The O.J. Chase tape, June 1994. Where were you? I was laying on my back at the Polynesian Hotel, Disney World, Orlando, Florida. Lying on my back alone. I was down there broadcasting for WIOD Radio Miami, and as I lay in my bed staring at the TV set, it was Larry King who said, "We've got to break away." And there it was, the Bronco speeding down the... And I swear to God, I thought I was in a Blockbuster the other day with the kids renting one of those really great movies they rent there. And I thought it said Bronco Chase. I can't find Elephant Man. I can't find the European version of The Vanishing. But by God, I got the Bronco Chase with OJ. And oh yeah, I think they've even got a copy of some other thing that I don't watch. I forget what it was. Oh, I know what it was. Raging Bull. How come you got Raging Bull, but you ain't got Elephant Man? That's a load of bull. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. John, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
American, and I am so insulted by these attacks that have happened here in South Florida on these homes. These are ignorant Americans.
What homes, sir?
Well, you know what happened here in Florida.
No, yeah. I don't.
Well, they've been drawing swastikas all over, and it's, you know, it's...
Now, you tell me the truth, or is this like that call that I got from a guy one day that said that Cubans were going nuts?
That caller, I don't know where he's from.
Oh, you know that caller then?
No, I do not know that caller. I don't
well, then what
have
caller
any
are you talking
association
about?
With that caller at all.
What caller?
The caller that called earlier that upsetted me so much that I came out on my bike to call you.
What caller upset you?
That gentleman that called in and he was, was saying that the Jews were doing something in Christmas-like and he was upset about it. Let them do what they want. It doesn't matter. You know what? I'm going to tell a lot of people something. I am so glad that I am a Hispanic American. You know why?
Well, I'm glad you are too, man.
You know why? I'll tell you why.
I'll tell you why, because if it wasn't for you cats, it would sure be a rough going for me on a Sunday morning without that menudo.
I understand that. I
of course you do. You've seen the Irish on Sunday morning.
Yes, I have.
All right, sir.
And it's good to drink a good soup that time.
So, go ahead.
But in any case, I just want to explain something. About Hispanic people. A lot of you all think that we're Mexican or we're this and that. I'm Cuban American.
Right.
And if you were to see me, I've got blondish hair, green eyes, and very fair skin.
Let's get to what everybody is wondering about here, John, about all the swastikas that are on the houses in Miami.
I just want to say that's despicable.
Yeah, but you know what that is? You know what that is?
Ignorance.
It's kids.
It's kids. And
it's
young,
kids.
Ignorant.
They're young, stupid kids. 99% of them grow out of that crap.
Of course.
But the unfortunate part is they're acting like juvenile delinquents, destroying private property.
Correct.
And to them, it's a big hoot and a half, and it's very funny. And you know, they get older and they learn that it isn't proper behavior. But in the meantime, they sort of terrify people.
That's true.
So the only thing you can do as a homeowner is you rely on the police, and you also rely on yourself and the baseball bat that you keep under your bed. And some night, if you're outside and they don't know you're there, and you see one of them coming, you can tee off, man, just like Mo Vaughn, you know.
I can understand that.
Just go for the fences on one of their heads.
I just wanted to make a cultural statement of why I'm very happy to be a Hispanic American. You know, I've traveled around the world.
Well, thank you very much for your call. I know we're happy that you're Hispanic American. I'm happy you're Hispanic American. I'm glad we have Americans of all races, stripes, creeds, colors, every kind. They're a gas. They're fun. This place wouldn't be what it is today. The boiling pot of racial strife. I mean, the wonderful fabric of, were it not for all of the different races that we have here. The people that I'm most tired of, the white people. Leave. How come it's always back to Africa? How about back to France? How about back to wherever the hell we're from? I forget now. You know, I don't even know where I'm from. My folks, both of them, were adopted. Both orphans. My old man was orphaned when he was born. He didn't know his real father. I think he knows his real mother, but we know nothing of her ancestry. My mother, her father ran off before she was born, and her mother croaked when she was 9. I think that mother was Irish. The mother that begat my father, she's Croatian or something. She's either Croatian or Swedish. I think she had a little Nairobi mixed in there, something. She was either Mexican or Finnish. I got no idea. I know that my adopted grandfather, James Hendry, originally from Glasgow, Scotland, born in 1877, died 1947, he was a hell of a man. He was a stockbroker in Toronto, Canada, and he never took a wooden nickel. And this guy apparently spoke with the thick Scottish brogue, and my father identified with that. So we have all identified with being Hendry, you know, a Scottish, Hendrys, as in the Scottish Hendrys. And we've gone around looking for the tartan and tried to dress up in kilts and been oh-so-cultural about it. But then I went to a kilt place in San Antonio, Texas. No, it was up in Sacramento, actually. And they said, no, you're not going to just get... What do you think? You think we just give kilts out to anybody? I said, well, I am Scottish. What's the name? Hendry, well, you'll have to bring us... you'll have to do the research and then tell us what your family tartan is. And I said, well, can't you do that for me? Well, yeah, but we, you know, they were very, very, excuse me, they were very, I don't know, you know, they were very surreptitious. They, you know, it was real cloak and dagger stuff. I said, look, all I want to do is walk out in public and address. Why can't you? Well, we don't just let anybody do that, sir. So my fine friend here, Chris Pelton, my screener and associate producer, he has a kilt, and his ancestry is like Mongolian or something. Where'd you get that? Oh, you're Russian. A Russian in a kilt. So I think the kilt is in, and we're going to wear it on our webcast December 21st. Yes, all right, nothing on underneath. And my father wore a kilt in the Army because he was in the Canadian Army, and since the Canadians didn't do much in the war other than get shot and killed, they decided to go into battle wearing dresses. Maybe that had freaked the Germans out. Sure did. He was in that kind of a regiment. 1-800-449-8686. Keith, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Keith.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
Good, how you doing?
Fine.
I just had a couple of thoughts regarding Bin Laden and his crew. As far as dates, they were talking, I guess, today on CNN about some of the critical dates, one being, the end of Ramadan.
Yeah.
I think the obvious would probably be Christmas, and another obvious would probably be New Year's.
What do you mean, the possible terrorist attack?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has anybody called? And I joined the show a little bit late. I don't know if anyone's commented on that further.
No, nobody has. I would give you my feeling on that. We already had an attempted bombing of the L.A. International Airport on New Year's millennium. It was thwarted by security. It was thwarted by the FBI up around Seattle, Washington. And today, as opposed to the 1st of January 2000, we're even more aware that this is a possibility. And the security apparatus in this country, I believe, is even on a more heightened state of alert than we ever thought we would ever possibly need to be back in August, July, June. You know, we almost ought to call it BS before September 11th. So, yeah, there's a threat. I don't think the one issued by that John Walker is worth the pot that it came in, though. That guy is obviously mentally deranged and sitting around a campfire with other Taliban guys talking about all the cool stuff that Bin Laden's cooking up. He wouldn't know what Bin Laden is cooking up if he was sitting in the kitchen with him. So I think that what we have right now in this country is, yeah, Al-Qaeda that are all pissed off, ready to strike, having a limited capacity, if not a completely destroyed capacity, to do so. And perhaps there's a little bit more fear of Jesus in their hearts today than there was on September the 10th, because now we're dropping those daisy cutters, we got a few bunker busters, and maybe some quasi-nuclear stuff that we're throwing up their asses over there in Afghanistan, and maybe they don't have the time to think about it, let alone dream about it, because they're too busy covering their own asses right now, but I could be wrong. Britney Spears topping charts with I'm a Slave for You will prove she's no slave to fashion by stripping down for an ad for PETA's anti-fur campaign. The animal rights group, known for its sexy I'd rather go naked than wear fur pictorials, has previously chastised the belly-bearing singer for using live animals in her stage show. Spears, 50, has since stopped that practice. She's got a heart of gold, says PETA's Dan Matthews. We're thrilled she's coming on to join our great new crop of fur fighters, he said as he put his leather jacket on. In other news, okay, so Britney is going to get nude. For you guys that have been wishing, hoping, and praying, for those of you who have been beating your fists till they're bloody against the stucco walls of your bungalows out behind your mom's house, now you know, Britney Spears nude within the very short future. Although you know that those celebrity nude shots are what? They're art shots. Yeah, the arms are folded across the chest. The hand is draped very casually across the crotch. And one thing you will never see in a celebrity nude shot, one thing you will never see, and that is the woman's rear end. And the reason why you never, ever, ever see in a celebrity, because there are many celebrity females that would love to do a nude shot. They would love the prestige. They would love the, oh, I don't know, the artistic excitement, the sort of underground nature, the sort of scofflaw posture that a nude layout, pictorial, if you will, in one of the nude magazines. I'm sure PETA has got a great nude magazine, by the way. They are just, where is she posing nude for PETA? What magazine is this? Oh, yeah, PETA's nude pictorials out. Oh, yeah. Jeez, the last thing you want to see. These are all people who favor ethical treatment of animals, and they're nude. Well, we have a wonderful one here of Madeleine Albright, and then we move on. Anyway, one of the things they want to do is appear nude, but you'll never see their ass. You want to know why? Women are embarrassed beyond comprehension by their asses. It's too fat. It's too this. It's too that. Breasts, they'll go to the wall to show you their breasts. They'll go to the wall to show you the brand spanking new $50,000 pair they just had installed. They'll wear the tightest sweater, the leanest tube top, the sausage casing of a lifetime to show off those brand spanking new $10,000 to $15,000 headlights they had installed. But give you a peek of some ass, show you what it's all really about? Not a chance. No, they're embarrassed because every woman thinks her ass is too big. She may be walking around with no ass, flat as a board. She thinks her ass is too big. She thinks she's got just another pound and she's fine. Yeah, another pound. That's so sexy. You have an ass like a boy. That's just great. That's what I want. I see a girl walking down the street with the ass of an 11-year-old boy. It just turns me on. You know that baggy jean thing that supposedly is attractive to some men? Yeah, guys that like 11-year-old boys. If you're really thin for your husband and he's been bugging you to lose a lot of weight, ask yourself this. Why does he want you to have the body of a 10-year-old little league player? Why does he want you to have the ass of a 13-year-old pony league boy? Ask yourself that and then be very afraid. Be very, very afraid. Then ask yourself, what's he doing online till 2 o'clock in the morning? I'm kidding. Anyway, You'll never see that. So the Britney Spears pictorial, were I one who was interested in her, and frankly, I like women. I'm not really all that turned on by girls. I mean, I'm serious. I like women. Women are sexy as hell. And a woman doesn't even get good until she hits about 35. Oh, you guys disagree with me? Hey, pal, I've been around 49 years. I think I know a little bit of something about something. I only got married when I was 44, okay? That means I was a bachelor roughly for, what, 44 years? And I sure as hell, and I ain't saying that I, you know, got around as much as some of you fine guys, but I sure as hell wasn't a freaking monk. And I will tell you that a woman doesn't even begin to get interesting till she's 35. Now, you don't have to believe me. You can go ahead and do whatever you want. I'm, you know, whatever. It's cool. Do what you want to do. But I'm going to tell you one thing. No woman will ever willingly let you see her ass unless she's really proud of it. And a woman is only proud of her ass if her man has made her feel confident about her ass. And if you're sitting there telling her to take another pound off here, another pound off there, until she's got the body of Michael Stipe. I mean, if you're really that much into, who's the guy from Radiohead, Tom York? Like that kind of body? Great. Why don't you just write Tom some fan letters? Dear Tom, I love you. My wife's body is just like yours. But you won't see Britney Spears showing you her ass because women think that that's embarrassing or it's too private. Can you believe that? The breasts, no problem. Breasts are now old hat. You can show those anywhere. You can drive down the road, take your blouse off, take your top off. You can walk into a bank, ask for a loan, ask for a $500,000 loan on the new townhouse, wearing no top at all, no brassiere, nothing. Topless. And get that loan within 3 hours, only at B of A, and only while supplies last. But you may not take your pants off. You know why Britney doesn't want you to see her rear end? And you think I'm kidding? Because she doesn't want you to see the zits on her ass. That's why. And that's why most women don't want you to see their asses. Oh, sure, they could airbrush it. Certainly there are makeup artists. But what would that do? Butt zits. Some chicks think that they're uncool. Frankly, I don't care. I don't care. Women know so very little about men, it's not even funny. I mean, honest to God, I know, yeah, sure. You guys tell us that we don't know anything about you, and you're right. But you equally know nothing of us. You don't know what turns us on. I mean, really. You could go into the catalog and buy the right kinds of clothes, and I suppose, well, all you got to do is rent a porn tape if you really want to know what it's all about. But, you know, most of you won't even go. You don't have that much imagination. And so you sit and you think you know what's going on. Well, in any event, I didn't want to do a whole 15 minutes on that, but I just thought it was interesting. Britney to show ass zits. I mean, Britney to get nude for anti-fur. By the way, my wife has a fur coat, and it looks fantastic on her, and it keeps her warm. And I think it cost about, $15,000, and 10-15 polar bears died for it. And we love it. We sleep on it. We do other stuff on it. I put it on the garage floor, man, to drain oil. It's great. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Victoria, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show, Victoria.
Oh, hi, thank you. Two things.
Yes, ma'am.
One, I think you're really sweet, and I hope you'll continue to do shows where you like women because...
And their asses.
And well, yeah, and
yes.
I agree with you. We're embarrassed to show them.
How old are you, dear?
Do what?
How old are you?
I'll be 45 next month.
Well, isn't that sweet?
Yes, yes. But listen, you seem to have a better respect for women than... I'm about a 35.
Okay, great. I asked her if she has assets, and she said she's a 35. Let's just end it there. What? She has 35 of them? 1-800-449-86...
The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, here is Ryan on the Phil Henry Show. Ryan?
Yeah, Phil, hey.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I'd give you tell you how much I love your show and all, but everyone always does that. So.
I know they do, and it's appreciated. But we can just move right over that.
Let's get right to the point.
Get to it.
Okay, I got two things about Bin Laden, if you have time. But then I have a high school deal, because I know you got a kid in high school, right? Football.
Got a couple of them.
Okay. Okay, the video, now everyone knows about the first video they took of Bin Laden, had the rocks in the background, right?
Uh-huh.
So they put blankets, next time he's on the video, they put blankets on the background, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now here's my own theory. Now, what if the guy was knocked off, or might even be dead right now? Who's to say that there's not like five or six different videos where it looks like, you know, they could show his people that he's still alive?
Well, I mean, they said that this video is from the middle of November, so the guy could have died any time from that point forward. Could
right,
be dead right now.
And he may have made a bunch of more videos.
But this is a video that I'm not... First of all, this is a video that I don't know that he wanted anybody to see, because they found this in a house. This was not delivered to Al Jazeera. This was not an Al-Qaeda-approved production. This was some video that just was sitting in a house that was discovered.
Right. I think that wheel they found was one of the choppers that took off after a rescue mission that hit something. And
yeah, the wheels fall off of these choppers. Apparently, it's a design flaw that they've had.
Right, correct.
Right.
But what do you think about the you know, him taking four or five, six different videos of himself now and showing them like a year from now, and he might be dead right now, just to keep his Al-Qaeda going and what have you, you know?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. You know, they had nine lassies. It worked for Lassie, so.
Yeah, it did.
It did, didn't it? Yeah, I think that Lassie. No, sure, the guy could have like 9 or 10 videos. And why not? And so what? I mean, first of all, this cat is not all that interesting to look at on video. Secondly, nobody knows what he's talking about. Thirdly, he's boring. And fourthly, he never says anything that really says anything. How relevant can you make your video, four or five or six of them, a year from now?
I'd like to say to all the brothers that keep fighting, keep the good foot guy, you know, keep it going, baby. And meanwhile, Afghanistan is like the 51st state.
Yeah, and they've got a golf course up there. How do we know that Bin Laden hasn't quit and is working for the Olsen twins? We don't, do we? Fact of the matter is, you don't want to attribute to this guy superpowers, which is what happens when individuals become murky and they become mysterious and their whereabouts is unknown and there are rumors that begin. And I'll give you an example. Here in California, a screenwriter was driving home one night through the New Mexico desert. This man was a screenwriter. Forgive me, I don't know his name. It's not really all that important, and it's probably good that I don't know his name or can't remember his name, because I don't want to dredge up any bad memories for anybody. But this was a true story. It happened about 2-3 years ago. He's driving through the New Mexico desert. He calls his wife. It's 1 a.m. She says, "How you doing, honey?" He says, "Great. I'll be home tomorrow sometime." She says, "All right, I love you. I love you, too." That's the last she ever heard from him. What happened to him? Well, for a solid year following his disappearance, oh, my God, the rumor mill had him knocked off by mafia. People who wanted to steal his ideas. Even extra-dimensional travel. Yes, you're right. There was even comment that UFOs had abducted him. Or he went into hiding. That's always a popular one. He doesn't want to be seen anymore. He doesn't want to be heard from anymore. He wants a new identity. And on the rumors went, while the bereaved woman, his wife, is trying to find her husband. Well, a guy is reading about this story in the newspaper. He lives in San Diego. About a year, 2 years later. He's reading the story, and he becomes intrigued. The man was on Interstate 20 or Interstate 10. He was coming from New Mexico. He was going to Los Angeles. His last known whereabouts was here. He would have been taking this path. And this man got in his car and retraced the steps, the automotive travel this man would have had between New Mexico and Los Angeles. And sure enough, over the California Aqueduct, which runs where? California Aqueduct is out northern desert of California. Sure enough, he stops over a bridge that is lined with chain-link fence, and he sees a section of the fence has been torn out. He walks to the section, and he spots in the aqueduct portion of an SUV, now mostly submerged, the SUV that was described as the screenwriter's that had been missing 2 years before. He calls the California Highway Patrol. They pull the SUV out of the aqueduct. It's this man's car, and sure enough, the remains of this poor man are in the car. What happened? He fell asleep at the wheel. The car lost control, sailed off the bridge through the fence into the aqueduct. There wasn't any UFO. There wasn't any man getting away from it all. There wasn't any extra-dimensional travel, and there wasn't any hit. It was just a man who fell asleep, tragically, at the wheel of his car late one night, in the middle of the night, with nobody else around on a lonely stretch of highway in the California desert, and he sailed to his death in the aqueduct. And I say that only to say, let's not get too, you know, let's start free associating too much about what bin Laden's capable of. The fact of the matter is, he may be sitting in a cave right now, crapping in his pants. He may have taken his own life. He may be considering surrender. We know what Hitler did. Hitler killed himself rather than be taken by the Russians. Hitler believed, and he was right, the Russians were the first to enter Berlin, and the last thing Hitler wanted was to fall into the hands of the Russians. The last thing in the world that he wanted to have happen was for the Russians to get a hold of him. He didn't want any of these Slavic guys, and he knew they had a hard-on for him big time after what he'd been doing to Russian POWs and after what he had done to their country. He would not let himself be taken by the Russians, and he popped himself, but not before Eva bit down on the cyanide, or probably something else too, and the two of them went to sleep. Now, bin Laden, if he's got any brains at all, he knows that he doesn't want the Americans to take him. Now, it just depends on what he's got in the category in the Department of Balls. Does he want to go down fighting, or does he want to take his own life? Well, this guy, so far, he's talking a good game, just like that Mullah Omar guy. But, nobody's actually seen these guys pick up a gun and do anything other than that training video where he pops off one round at a straw dummy and then he hands the gun to somebody and he goes off and he has a couple of MGDs and watches a Cubs game. But does this guy actually have any fight in him? We're told that he was a Mujahideen. We're told that he fought the Russians in the 80s in the Afghanistan war, that he was a real hard-ass. He is a terrorist, and the definition of that is like no balls. No, I shouldn't say that, but the fact is he's most likely going to take his own life before he allows himself to be taken by any American whatsoever, because that is, not only is it death, and it's sure death, but it's also humiliation, heaped upon humiliation. And a guy like bin Laden, with an ego like his, with the megalomania that guy's got, with the murderous megalomania that he's got, he would rather have 10,000 Al-Qaeda die, and I mean slowly and painfully, rather than have himself taken alive by the Americans. So the guy's probably on his way to getting icing, you know, either icing himself now or sometime in the next couple of weeks. There's my prediction. But don't make it so the guy has extra dimensional travel, out-of-body experiences, and he's on the moon right now with some of our UFO friends. Sometimes the facts are just the facts, just like Chandra Levy. You know what? I know as much as it pains a lot of people, she didn't get killed by Gary Condit. She wasn't abducted by a UFO. She probably was murdered by the same serial killer that's been afoot in Washington, D.C. now for the last couple of 3 years, who has killed other young women in that neighborhood and may still. So there you go. There's a little bit more of the Henry perspective on things. The whole, I had to call it something like the no spin, the no bull crap, the Henry perspective, the Henry analysis. Henry's full of crap. Something you guys can relate to. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Our website for our special webcast, philhenryshow.com. December 21st. First webcast of its kind, The Phil Henry Show.